April 7th, 2024. Haggadah Shel Pesach begins, in our standard versions of Haggadah Shel Pesach, with the words, Kehalachma Anya, or Halachma Anya. Generally speaking, that's the conversation. Do you have that extra kaf at the beginning of those first two words of the Haggadah, or not? Is it Kehalachma Anya, like this bread of poverty, or is it bread of poverty? Interestingly, though, if you take a look at the Girsa or the Nosah HaHaggadah of Harambam at the end of his Ilchot Hametz U'Matzah records the text of the Haggadah that he had in front of him. He has three words which precede those initial words that we read in the Megillah, in the Haggadah. It says, Bibbahilu Yasanu Mimisraim. That's the way the Haggadah Shel Pesach of Harambam began. And in truth, we have many ancient Haggadot which began with those three words. If you look in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, Haggadah Shelema, he records a long list of many ancient manuscripts of Haggadah Shel Pesach which start with those three words. Again, Bibahilu Yasanu Mimisraim. What do those words mean? Behala means a surprise. Yasanu Mimisraim, of course, means we left Egypt. The words with which you open Haggadah Shel Pesach and the most ancient or many of the most ancient Haggadot that we have are, we left Mitzrayim in a hurry. Not talking about the Masa, not inviting guests in, but mentioning those words. We left Egypt in a hurry. It's almost as if there's some sort of significance. In some way, that's going to paint the picture of what Haggadah Shel Pesach, what Yetziat Mitzrayim is all about. It's the fact that it happened in a hurry. In truth, in our own Haggadah Shel Pesach, as you go on to define the reasons for the mitzvot that we're performing on that night, when we talk about Masar, Rabban Gamliel Omer, Kol Shelo Amar, it's a Mishnah in Pesachim, Shelosha Devarim Elu BaPesach Lo Yatza Yedei Chovato. Of course, Pesach, Masa Umaror. Why is it that we eat Masa? As we recited in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, we cite a pasuk from Sefer Devarim. Masa Zo She'anu Ochelim Al Shem Ma, Shuma, Al Shem, Shelo Hispik Besekam Shelavoteno Lehachmit, Ad Shenigla Alehem Melech Malchei HaMelechim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ge'ala Miyad. Why is it that we eat Masa on Pesach? Because we didn't have time for the dough which we had begun baking to rise. It's almost as if that in and of itself is a significant aspect, detail, to Haggadah Shel Pesach, to Yetziat Mitzrayim. The fact that it was in haste, in a hurry, quick. That fast. That's what Yetziat Mitzrayim, Bibahilu, we left in a hurry, in a surprise fashion. Masa, because it didn't rise. You see, when it comes to Masa, there was already a command with Korban Pesach before we left Egypt to be eating Masa. Many of the Mefarshim raised this question. How is it that we say that we're commemorating eating Masa that we left in a hurry? Well, we were going to eat Masa anyway. We read it this past week in Parashat HaChodesh. We were commanded with the Korban Pesach. That's prior to Yetziat Mitzrayim to have Masa. There's got to be some other aspect to the Masa, but that's the pasuk we mentioned from Sefer Devarim. Haggadah Shel Pesach has us focused. Harambam's Nosach, Bibahilu, the Matzah, in the hurry. There's something about hurrying, something about haste, which defines Yetziat Mitzrayim. You might just say it was frenzied panic in that time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu coordinated, staged, and choreographed this Yetziat. The fact that it happened in such a fashion means there was some purpose, some reason for it taking place in that fashion. What's the reason? Why is Yetziat Mitzrayim so pronounced by the speed, haste, and fastness? But more. Harambam, in his Moreh Nevuchim, in Chelek Gimal Perek Memvav, when he goes through, in Chelek Gimal, this is part of the 20 or so chapters where he gives the reason for mitzvot. He talks about the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, again, which we read about this past week. And he goes through many of the details. And they have one theme in common. Let me read to you it a little. Hadinim ha-miyuhadim le-korban ha-pesach, writes Harambam, the laws which seem somewhat arbitrary when it comes to Korban Pesach, vehem, for example, she-ye-achel sili-esh, it needed to be eaten roasted, bilvad, only, couldn't be bashev, cannot be mevushal b'mayim, it couldn't be cooked, had to be roasted. ובבית אחד יאכל, לא תוסים מן הבית, מן הבשר החוצה, ועצם לא תשברו בו. Furthermore, Korban Pesach, you couldn't take it out of your home. You brought it into your home, you couldn't then go share it with your neighbor, you couldn't walk next door, it needed to be eaten in the same home, roasted and in the same home. Furthermore, ועצם לא תשברו בו, you weren't allowed to break bones when you ate from Korban Pesach. All three of those unique details, says Harambam, had one reason. Ta'am kulam barur, the reason for all of them is clear. Ki kemo shehamatzah hi biglal ha'chipazon, writes Harambam, the same way masah, we just read it from the Haggadah, is for chipazon, is for the haste, is for that fast nature. Kachatziliyah biglal ha'chipazon. Let's begin with the roasting. So too, roasting was because that's faster. Shahare lo hayeta shahut leachin minem ha'tamim u'ma'achalim mishuchlalim. There was no time to prepare a carefully crafted cooked item. It needed to be fast and roasted, the easiest and most direct way of dealing with this. There was no spicing it. There was no adding ingredients. Continues Harambam, and he says, Shekvar huskar ikaro shel kol zot, v'hu dabero, v'achaltem oto behipazon. The Pasuk says explicitly at the time of Yetziat Mitzrayim, you're going to eat it in haste. You ate it, we read it this past week again in Parashat HaChodesh, with your shoes on your feet. You couldn't do it in the luxury of your home. You had to be holding your staff as if you were about to leave the home. You had to have your loins girded. Everything was on you as if you were about to depart, and you were doing it very quickly, says Harambam. Be'et ha'chipazon en mitmahamihim lishbor atzamot. He says, furthermore, when you're in a hurry, you don't have time to break the bones and to suck on them and to draw out anything that nutrients and juices inside of them. That's as well, so that it's fast. You also don't have time when I'm in a hurry, let's eat this quickly, to go next door and share it with someone over there. I'm going to send it there and wait for someone to bring it back. Kol ele, writes Harambam, all of these ma'asim shel atzaltayim v'hitmahamehut. These are all actions, these are all ways of an atzel. What's an atzel? A lazy one. Inability to do things with haste and a failure at doing things quickly. Again, to reiterate the theme then, the Haggadah shel Pesach in Harambam's version starts with the words Bebahilu yasanu mimisraim. That underscores the direction we're going in. Yetziat Mitzrayim was in haste, was in a hurry. Korban Pesach, all of its aspects, claims Harambam, was in order to underscore, highlight, and make clear to us this was being done quickly. Masa, we read in the Haggadah shel Pesach, is because it didn't have time to rise. That's a pasuk in Sefer Devarim. It's almost as if this was very much a part of Yetziat Mitzrayim. It's not that it just happened to occur, as though we're supposed to read this and we're supposed to be learning some lesson from this. I'll go further. Read the Pesukim, not even so carefully. Notice that much of the haste was caused by God stopping us. Borei Olam stopped us, and he sent us in the direction to the sea. Instead of splitting the sea, we had to stop there. Our hearts started racing. At a certain point, the Egyptians were running after us, and we realized we need to move forward. There was certain adrenaline drive in that moment because he set it up as such. If he caught and left Mitzrayim in their state of hardened heart, as the Pesukim describe, if we just left with Paro in his state of not being able to let us go, or not being able to keep us in, we wouldn't have to be racing in the same fashion that the Pesukim describe it. This was purposeful. There's something very clear with regards to the speed in which we left Mitzrayim. The Gemara in Masechet Berachot, in fact, on Daf Yod Zayin, where it has many of the prayers that many of the Tanaim and Emoraim used to say at the conclusion of Amidah, has the following well-known one. It says, Rabbi Alexandri, Daf Yod Zayin Amud Aleph, Batar Selote, that means after his prayer, Amar Hache, he used to say the following, Yehi rason milifanecha Adonai Elohenu sheta'midenu bekeren ora ve'al ta'amidenu bekeren hashecha val yadve libenu val yeheshku enenu. Okay, so this description is, you asked God for light in his life. Continues the Gemara. Says, Ikadamre, ha Rav Hamnuna maslela. Some say that was the prayer of Rav Hamnuna. What did it be Alexandri himself? Be Alexandri batar de masle, listen carefully, Amar hache. This was his prayer at the end. Galui v'yadua lefanecha. It's revealed in front of you, God. Shereisonenu, our will, la'asot reisonecha, to fulfill your will. Umi me'akev. Who's withholding? Who's preventing us from performing your will? Se'or sheba'isa v'she'ibud malchiyot. It's the se'or sheba'isa. It's the hametz in the dough. It's the leavening agent in our lives. And she'ibud malchiyot means, and the monarchies and governments which are preventing us and distracting us. What does it mean, se'or sheba'isa? We want to, we would be performing your will, it's just being prevented by se'or sheba'isa. Rashi, yeser hara. What's se'or sheba'isa? It's representative of yeser hara. Shebilvavenu, which is in our hearts and minds. Hamachmisenu, which is slowing us down. It's a certain laziness. It's a certain inability to get past our physical nature. That's, again, a description of there's a particular and specific nature of our avodat Hashem, of our connectedness to God, in not being drawn down, in doing things in a haste, in doing things quickly, in not being stuck in the hametz. One last, in terms of the direction on this, as we're about to leave Egypt, if we're focused in these moments right now on the speed, on the time, on the nature in which things are done, not slowly but quickly, we're focused on time. Right before Yetziyah Mitzrayim, God commands us of HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. He commands us in the responsibility, the reality as a nation of Am Yisrael to sanctify time, to determine how time works, to establish Rosh Chodesh. Again, another aspect, part of this whole dimension, which seems to be part and parcel of Yetziyah Mitzrayim, the speed, the nature of time, the instance in which we left was not merely just leaving in a normal fashion, it was in a haste, in a hurry, with fastness. What's that really all about? One last aspect where it will be driven home on one of the pages in front of you. It's from this commentary to the Torah. His name is Maharal of Prague. He wrote a commentary called Gur Aryeh. He's commenting on the words of Rashi. Rashi, in a pasuk which, again, we read, I hate to continue saying that, this past week, the pasuk says, Ushmartem et hamasot. Pasuk says, and you should safeguard, you should protect the masot, which of course, in the most simple sense, means make certain that the masot don't become hametz. The rabbis, Rashi cites from them, say don't read it just as masot, but rather read it as mitzvot. Rabbi Yoshia writes Rashi, it's at the top of the page, Resh Yod Dalet, in the middle of the line where it says Rashi. Rabbi Yoshia omer, al tihi kore et hamasot, don't read it as masot, ela et hamitzvot, rather mitzvot. Kederech she'en machmitzin et hamasa, kach en machmitzin et hamitzvah. The same way that you cannot and may not allow for matzah to rise slowly, so too mitzvot need to be done with, the fancy English word is, alacrity, quickness, a swift nature. It's a not as, you know, what you would, if you heard, if your child came home and repeated this to you, you'd say it's a cute derasha. Rashi, in his commentary to the Torah, our general, as Maharal writes in his commentary, Gur Aryeh, our general principle with regards to Rashi is he doesn't just quote a cute divrei Torah. If he's quoting a midrash, there's some essence that will reflect on the pasuk. I've more than once mentioned I sat in a shi'ur from time to time with, his name is Rabbi Reuven Leichter, and he's one of the great Ba'alei Mahshava now of our generation. He's also involved in Kiruv, in bringing people closer, and he has a real depth of understanding. So it was during lunch in yeshiva, I used to go to some small room and listen to him. And one time someone said to him, Rabbi, I don't understand, it was Americans in the room, what's the greatness of Rashi? All he does is collect midrashim. And so the rabbi's eyes opened widely, and you know he was putting on a show. I mean, maybe he was really affected, but I think he put on a show. He said, you don't really mean that question. He said, no, I just want to understand. He said, are you serious? He said, every letter in Rashi we make derashot on. Every word he chose, the way in which he wrote it is to be learned, every single detail. He said, which midrash he decided to insert, where he decided to insert it. He said, our tradition when it comes to the commentary of Rashi al HaTorah is not that it's merely a midrash which is being presented in some sort of organized fashion. There's specific and particular direction and reasons for everything. Maharal is taking off of that on Rashi over here. He says, if Rashi is talking about Ushmartem et hamasot, be careful with the masot, so too with mitzvot, al tikrem masot el mitzvot. mitzvot. Mitzvah haba'a liyadecha, if a mitzvah comes your way, al tachmitzena, be quick to get to it. There's got to be something in matzah, something in Yetziat Mitzrayim. If we haven't made the point already, there's a lot of references in the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim and the rabbi's memory of it, that speed has everything to do with Yetziat Mitzrayim. And the rabbis are spelling it out in that statement in the Midrash. But what is it? How do you explain speed? How do you explain the aspect of going directly at it and not taking your time, not being lazy, as being significant to Yetziat Mitzrayim more than any other time, more than any other holiday, more than any other mitzvah? Maharal of Prague suggests the following, and I'll preface with words that we learned in Mesilat Yesharim some months ago. In Perek Vav of Mesilat Yesharim, Ramchal Rabbi Moshe Chaim Losato explained that laziness is, again, a fancy English word, endemic to the human nature. What does that mean? It means that as human beings who are made of physicality, we are naturally inclined to just be stuck, to not move, to not be quick and swift to things. By definition, physical things take up space. Physical things are stuck in place unless there's something mobilizing them. As a result, the normal, if you're overcoming the natural way and cause of physical things when you're doing something quickly. Because as physical beings, as physical human beings, as physical creatures, we are drawn to laziness. So then what is the force of speed? What is the force of, so to speak, transcending that natural feature in us to just be stuck in time? I suggest Maharal, if you'll take a look now in the left-hand column, some lines down, let's read from four lines before the end, right next to footnote 300 in the text. So we're in the left-hand column, and it's the four lines before the column ends, not the footnotes, but next to where it says 300. It says, Ve'inyan ze haya, mipene shenigla melech malchei ha-melachim ha-kadosh baruch hu, v'lo hispik isatam le-hachmitz. So he first points to the pasuk. The pasuk tells us, Haggadah shel Pesach, that God revealed himself, and as a result, there was no time for rising of dough. U'me'ahar shenigla alehem melech malchei ha-melachim en kan ikuv, ki ma'asav bimhirut, says Maharal, he says, by definition, God's actions, I'm inserting the words which we'll see in a moment, since there is no physicality in them, there's nothing preventing them. They're swift, they're quick. He says, intellectual will continue that because he means it. Spiritual matters are not inhibited by time. By definition, time is a construct for me and you living in this world. Imagine for a moment being not, well, we ask this question all the time. It's a question that as kids we ask, and if we think just a little bit about it as we get older, we realize it's an inappropriate question. What happened before day one of creation? What was there before day one of creation? So those words you can't mention, you can't say the words. Tohu vavohu is an inexplicable reality because you're addressing it as if there was an aspect of time. Time is experienced with physical. When you're not physical, you're above space and time. And as a result, the description he has over here is, when I'm dealing with something that's spiritual, it's above space and time. When I'm addressing a reality which is not in this world, well, by definition, it is not constrained in any way by time. As a matter of fact, that's how Sephorno, Radak, Gaon Mivilna, many interpret the first pasuk in the Torah. Bereshit bara Elohim et ha-shamayim ve'et ha-aretz. It's a difficult pasuk to translate. In the beginning, or Bereshit, in the beginning, God created heavens and earth. Is it really so? Did God really create heavens and earth at the very beginning? Not really. It took some time for those to be created. The word Bereshit, the Gemara in Masechet Rosh Hashanah says, was a ma'amar bifnei atzma. It was, in and of itself, a creation. What was it a creation of? Time. The description, in turn, is physical world, as you and I know it, is under the guidelines and the veil of time. If I'm dealing with something spiritual, It's above space and time. You know, this is not really entirely relevant, but it comes to mind. I was supposed to have for several weeks a meeting with a rabbi about something significant. It was completely and fully my fault, but I kept pushing off the meeting. I wasn't able to have this meeting because I got busy with this, and then I got distracted by that, or whatever. And I wasn't, so I had a voice message. I saw a voice message after he called, and I picked it up a day or two later. And in it, he says, "I saw you at the rabbi meeting yesterday." We had a rabbi meeting, and some rabbi meetings are very significant. There's some very important things addressed. Others, I imagine, like any others, but I don't know, I'm not in your business rooms, but others, for lack of a better word, a waste of time. You know, you address issues, you get stuck on matters, whatever. This one was one of those. It was a bit of a waste of time. So the rabbi says in the message, he said, if you had the ability to waste your time for an hour and a half at that, something tells me you could find time to meet with me as well. Why do I mention it? And he had me dying of laughter. I called him right away, and we set up the meeting. He had me at hello in that comment. But the description, I think, is that when there's a matter which is significant, this is the easiest way to tap into this in our own lives. We always say there's not enough time for things. When there's a matter which is significant, we somehow find the time for it. And I think that touches on this aspect. When I'm dealing with spiritual realities, there is time because you're not confined by time. It sounds ridiculous, but that is the reality. You and I live lives in which we look at the clock all the time. When I'm above, you see, the Mishnah, we mentioned it in a different context recently. The Mishnah mentions in Pirkei Avot, it says that in Yerusha in the Mishkan, they used to be omdim sifufim u'mishtahavim meruvahim. They would stand all together, crouch together, and it was a room which filled everyone in the Mikdash and the Shalosh Regalim, but when they would bow, they would notice there was plenty of space. It's an interesting description. Hatam Sofer talks about this being one of great miracles. It's a description alternatively, and he might even be mentioning this himself, in which when you're really tapped into the spiritual, the physical constraints and confines of physicality, that's all gone. There's no space any longer. Mm-hmm. I'm just flowing. I'm just involved in something where I'm not held back by time and space. So the description of Maharal then is ulfi madregat hashivutam peulatam beliz zeman velachen siva she'en machmitzin et hamatza lehodia ki peulat Hashem itbarach beliz zeman kelal ve'af mitzvat Elohim she'i devar Hashem habali adecha al tachmitzena. God's redemption of us from Egypt took place so quickly to describe and to define for us. This was not just a physical redemption. This was a spiritual redemption. So it felt, and it was so quick, it wasn't held back. He choreographed it. He planned it so that we felt everything was moving so quickly. You turn to the guy next to you, you didn't even realize, when did that happen? How's this going? Because it was a spiritual happening. And as a result, suggests Maharal, the way in which we remember this, commemorated for eternity, is through doing things quickly. Mitzvot, which should define for us spiritual involvement. You know, think about it like this. This is the way I think about it. When you think about the different holidays, Shavuot is somewhat easy to attribute and to describe as spiritual. It's time of Matan Torah, and as a result, many people stay up all night studying Torah. You're immersed in Torah. There's not many other things. There's no physical actions going on. That's a day of, I know the Gemara describes it as differently, but in terms of the experience, it's a spiritual holiday. Sukkot, you're leaving your home, you're leaving the regular physical nature, and you're going out and you're saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're above me and you're protecting me. Pesach, I mean, not so much so. You're drinking four cups of wine, which means you're becoming somewhat intoxicated and feeling good. It's actually the purpose of them, part of the Herut and Simcha, the Gemara says in Pesachim. You're eating and drinking. You're involved in remembering how we were slaves. You're reenacting a backbreaking labor, servitude, and slavery, and then remembering and realizing how we're free. You'd imagine, you'd be mistaken in imagining this holiday commemorates and is a celebration of our physical redemption. The suggestion in turn is, by focusing on the speed, we are in turn supposed to be focused on how this is a spiritual celebration. And as a result, there's time for everything. I would suggest in this context, going back to that phone call with the rabbi, that's why the Haggadah mentions how there were rabbis who were situated in Bnei Brak who go overtime discussing the halachot or the Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim. There was no confines of time and space for them. That's what the Midrash is describing. That's what that Beraita is describing to us. How they extended themselves because they were involved, engrossed in a matter, in a reality which was spiritual, not physical. Oh, so they needed students who were stuck in this world to come and say them, by the way, furthermore, it explains really all of those references. Bibahilu Yasanu Mimisraim, Harambam says, that's what the Haggadah Shel Pesach is all about, because this Haggadah, as we're about to begin it, don't say any words yet. Realize what this is about. Pause. What are you about to engage in? I don't know, celebrating how I was a slave physically and now free. No! Celebrating the speed. Celebrating speed equals celebrating spiritual redemption. Realizing, as the Gemara in Berachot told us, that as a spiritual animal, I want to do your will, but Hametz is holding me back. What that means is, again, that spiritually, to be able to transcend it, time, laziness, the physical nature of things wouldn't be an issue for me. Ushmartem et hamasot, ushmartem et hamitzvot, says Rashi. It's about, on this holiday, tapping into who we are as people. We are as people spiritual beings, Pesach tells us. It feels like a holiday of physicality. It feels so different than Shavuot and Sukkot. Ironically, it's the most spiritual of the holidays. It's the holiday in which we have what's called the creation of Netzach Yisrael. It's the creation of who we are as a nation. In truth, and if you take a look at this other piece of paper, if you parallel what happens at the time of Yetziat Mitzrayim to the creation of existence, there's a fascinating parallelism which has been noted and realized by others beforehand. Let's first remember, everything began in Egypt with HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. That's a pasuk that we drew attention to earlier. That's the command, the realization of time. You are defining time as a people, as a nation. You are defining it and you are in turn in charge of it. There's a spiritual dimension to it. And then we start walking to Yam Suf. And if you look in the left-hand column from Parashat Beshalach, the pasuk says, Vayet Moshe et yado al hayam, Vayodech Adonai et hayam beruach kadim aza kol halayla, Vayasem et hayam leharava, Vaybakeu hamayim, description of Moshe raising his hand and separating waters. Of course, creation begins in a similar fashion as well. The world was tohu vavohu, and what happens? There's a separation between waters. Ve'ha'aretz hayeta tohu vavohu, there's ruach Elohim merachefet al penei hamayim. And, of course, there's a separation of waters which brings forth the creation. Right after that, as we're walking through Yam Suf, the Pesukim describe how there's some sort of enmeshing, some sort of coming together of darkness and light. Pasuk says, Vayisam malach Elohim ha'olech lifnei machane Yisrael v'yelech me'achareihem. Next pasuk, v'yavo ben machane Mitzrayim ben machane Yisrael v'ye'anan v'achoshech v'ya'er et halayla v'lo karav ze'el ze kol halayla. The Mefashim Rashi suggests this was a reality in which it was light for Bnei Yisrael and darkness for the Egyptians. Are you following the stages of creation? We separated between waters. Now we're separating between darkness and light. And then the Pesukim repeat to us twice, we walk on dry land while we're surrounded by water. Again, the Pesukim systematically take us from the Spirit of God, that wind which is above the water. A day one was creation of time. We had HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. A day we move forward and we're separating between darkness and light on day two. On day three, we're creating and realizing a reality of separation between waters, and then ultimately speaking, noticing and appreciating as well a yabasha, a dry land beneath us. Why do I mention all this in our context? Because Yetziat Mitzrayim was a new creation. Yetziat Mitzrayim, the Torah purposefully parallels the initial creation to this creation to say to us, we had a physical creation. That was once upon a time. Now, as you stand on the precipice of Yetziat Mitzrayim, as you remember Yetziat Mitzrayim, realize the speed. Understand that need for speed, the fast, the swift nature, because the fast and swift nature is the way that you, if you understand this properly, tap into the true nature of this night. It's It's the opposite of physical creation, which once was. It's creation 2.0, the creation of a spiritual nature as a nation who are imbued by and directed by not a physical direction, but one entirely spiritual. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen v'amen.